Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we might as well start off the show with another new kid in town. Packers claiming running back Christian Michael off waivers from the Seattle Seahawks. Presumably, he will practice for the first time on Thursday, shortly after our taping of this show. Give us the West Hod scouting report on this guy.
Well, the thing that's interesting, Mike, is I was doing our insider inbox for the website on Thursday, and as I was getting some of the questions together before we found out on Wednesday that he had gotten claimed, I had already been sort of going through all these messages and comments, and it was unbelievable how many people wanted the Packers to claim Christian Michael, and finally it happened. Yep. And it's interesting in that the Packers, this is a young man that is only 26 years old, just turned 26 last week, still seems like he has a lot of good football ahead of him. And the thing that's the most interesting about him, in addition to this massive following that he's developed over the last 3.5 years in the NFL, is the fact that he's really produced everywhere he's been. He hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities, but you know, he has a 4.3 yards per carry average for his career. It seems like he's done some positive things. Just hasn't been able to find the right fit yet. Two stints in Seattle, one in Dallas. Now he's here with the Green Bay Packers and seeing if he can fit into what the Green Bay is trying to do.
Yeah, and a little bit of serendipity, you might say, in terms of his draft position in 2013. He was selected just one pick in the second round after the Packers chose Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, it was one of the things that was kind of surprising when I went back and realized the pedigree that he has. It sometimes gets lost between, you know, the trips to Dallas, you know, getting traded there, and then he ends up back in Seattle after getting cut. That this is a really talented athlete. This is a guy that tested through the roof at the Combine in 2013, which played a big role into him, you know, getting picked where he did.
Yeah.
And this year alone, I mean, 17 carries, 469 yards. All six of his career touchdowns were this season, coincidentally, in seven starts for Seattle. Now, I know all the reports out of the West Coast are that this was strictly a football decision that the Seahawks made. Thomas Rawls is pretty close to returning. They have two young running backs that they really like that they recently drafted that they want to stick with. So Michael was the odd man out, and now in Green Bay, he'll get a chance to potentially be a big contributor for this offense that wants to establish its running game.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll have to, you know, reserve judgment here, at least in the early going. We've seen the Packers claim Jarrell Presley right off waivers from Minnesota. He didn't last very long. Nile Davis was picked up midseason. He only lasted a couple of weeks. I have a feeling, just based on Michael's track record, the fact that he scored a half a dozen touchdowns this season for the Seattle Seahawks, this one might be different. That being said, he is just coming in on a Thursday. The Packers have a game on Sunday. James Starks is back and healthy. Proved that in last week's game against Tennessee that he can provide a bit of a boost for this offense. So we can play the wait and see mode on Michael, but certainly a guy who's worth taking a look at and seeing what he may be able to bring, whether it's within a couple of weeks and down the stretch this season, or as you head into another offseason and training camp in 2017.
Yeah, and Don Jackson, who was the practice squad running back that the Packers activated a few weeks ago, actually went on injured reserve, hadn't been on the injury report all week, so we'll see exactly what happened there. So if they weren't going to have Jackson, they needed another running back besides Starks and whatever you can get from Ty Montgomery. So it just so happens that, you know, Michael's available on the waiver wire. It's kind of interesting, though, when you go back. I think before this year and them claiming Presley and now Michael, I think you'd have to go back to, off the top of my head, back to 2013 for the last time the Packers actually claimed a player, which was Chris Harper, when they needed an extra receiver.
A receiver, yeah.
In terms of in-season, waiver claims. So it's interesting, you know, Ted Thompson's acknowledging that they need to help out this offense and try to find, you know, somebody to lessen the load from these guys, and Michael certainly has that. Again, as I talked about, I mean, he has an interesting skill set, 5'10", 221 pounds. He was used a little bit more as a receiver this season, so in terms of receiving back. So when you look at the three down qualifications that the Packers look for in their running backs, he's a guy that certainly can fit into that. Again, if he can catch up and pick up this offense and try to make an impact here before, you know, we get too far into the end of the month in December.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you talked about Mike McCarthy wanting to, he's spoken very regularly here about wanting to reestablish the running game and get this Packers offense back to where he likes it. And we'll talk a little bit more about Coach McCarthy when we come back after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we heard earlier this week, and we talked about it on the show earlier this week, Coach McCarthy's rather impassioned defense of you know, his belief in what he's doing and how he's going to pull the Packers out of this. We heard from quarterback Aaron Rodgers in the locker room on Wednesday, very strongly, very sternly come to the defense of his head coach in terms of a question regarding the speculation surrounding Mike McCarthy and maybe his job security or whatever you want to call it. And Aaron Rodgers just flat out said, as he said at other times before when there have been some rough patches, hey, that's ridiculous. For those who are wondering if, you know, the locker room is on board with the head coach and vice versa, this, for whatever has gone wrong, this team is staying together right now. Yeah. That's what I see.
Yeah, definitely, Mike. And that was something, too. At the same time that Rodgers was talking to Davante Adams, I was over in the group with him, and he said, he echoed the same comments, you know, 100% they're behind McCarthy and his message right now, because you have to realize there's a track record here. We're not talking about a guy that just came in last season, maybe had some success, and now they're hitting a rough patch. This is a guy that's done it for 9 years. And when you build that foundation, I don't think you can dismiss it overnight. And as Rodgers really kind of talked about and emphasized, there's always going to be noise outside, but you have to concentrate what's going on inside, the things that people don't see, the meeting rooms, the practices, everything that you're doing to prepare in a given week. That's really the focal point and really the center focus of this Packers team right now. And I thought Rodgers really taking, you know, and the way it was asked and the question that was presented, I thought he really outlined every thought that has been sort of hinted at in this locker room. When you look at some of the tweets from guys defending McCarthy, when you look at Adams' comments and the way that these guys have talked about the program here in Green Bay, there's an appreciation for that, and it's something you can't just throw away.
Yeah, I think there's a sentiment amongst the fan base when you see, you talked about the practices and whatnot, and Mike McCarthy has admitted what the preparation that he's seeing is not carrying over to game day, and that's what needs to be fixed, obviously. But there's a sentiment amongst the fan base that, oh, McCarthy has lost the locker room when they see the team fall behind 28-7, when they see him fall behind 31-13, like we've seen the last couple weeks. There's a sentiment that he's lost the locker room, and that's really just not the case. And I think fans have to realize too, I know patience maybe is running thin, because from the fan standpoint, they look back to last year and there was a 6-0 start, and then things started to go south. And there were a lot of struggles through the second half of last season. But still, at the end of the day last year, you can say what you want about 2015, but Mike McCarthy was a big part in getting this team essentially one play away from the NFC Championship game. Yeah. You know, for all that had gone wrong in the second half of the season, and there was a lot that had gone wrong, they were still right there at the end of the day. Now, will that happen or can that happen again in 2016? We'll just have to find out. But Mike McCarthy's track record, the guy deserves more than the benefit of the doubt here.
I agree. And that's one of the things, too, that as Adams kind of alluded to a little bit, and we've talked about, when you have seven consecutive playoff appearances, when you have the string of success Green Bay's had, it can spoil a fan base.
No question.
I think the one thing that's really challenging, and I think my generation in particular has a hard time really grasping this, is it wasn't always this way. I mean, for two decades, there was one playoff appearance, basically, and it was in the strike year.
Yeah.
So to be able to understand the foundation that's built and how difficult it is to establish that foundation, there's only 32 teams, Mike. You're not facing, you know, some small FBS and FCS schools to pad out your schedule. Every week is a massive, massive challenge. So to be able to find a way to stay on the winning end of that, to stay on the front end of it, it's not easy to do, and that's why I just don't think, as I said earlier, you can dismiss it. What has been accomplished here? What can be accomplished going forward? But you also have to pull out of it, and I think that's the thing that everybody's focusing on. If this team would have given up, if they would have been down 35-16 at halftime and completely packed it in, if Aaron Rodgers got hit in the end zone and nobody stood up for him, If the offense didn't show any life, that's where you start to get the feeling that someone's lost a team.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. And I firmly believe, and I've said this on our website too, I think the Packers are going to pull out of it at some point this year. With the injuries and everything else that they're dealing with, I don't know. What I don't know is if they're going to pull out of it soon enough to make the playoffs and whatnot. They are in a fortunate situation in that at 4-5, the two leaders in their division are only 5-4. They're only one game back. The Packers very easily could be sitting here at 4-5 with a three-game deficit in the division, and you're looking at the season practically being over from any hopes of the postseason. So you don't focus on the big picture right now as a player and a coach. They've talked about that this week. It's about going to win the one game in Washington. But from the outside, you still have that big picture to hold on to that, hey, there's still a chance here, and there is time to still make something of this season if they can pull out of it starting this week.
Yeah, you have to win, and the only way to win is to win the next game that's in front of you. For the Packers, it's Washington. It's going back to the same place that they went last January when they had all the questions about the offense. They didn't know who their left tackle was going to be. You didn't know how they were going to perform. They
were heading in there on a two-game losing streak to end the regular season.
Losing the NFC North. They've been in this situation before, and they've been in situations in terms of trying to rally. And I just think, historically, it's been something they've pulled out of it. Maybe that's the reason there's been this vibe around it, is because they're just fans aren't accustomed to this in terms of having to find, kind of grit through these kind of moments of adversity. But I think in that locker room, there's a lot of confidence that they can still do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, we'll take a quick look here at the Packers injury situation heading into this game in Washington. We saw outside linebacker Clay Matthews return to the practice field on Wednesday. We'll see how the rest of the week goes from here, but a potentially good sign there for the defense. On the offensive line, with what happened in the Tennessee game, losing TJ Lang to an ankle injury and then David Bakhtiari to a knee injury, we haven't seen Lang return to the practice field yet. We don't really have any kind of an update there. Bakhtiari was back on the practice field in a limited capacity, has a brace on that knee underneath his he had a brace underneath his sweatpants for practice there. So we'll see how it sorts out. But certainly when you look back at the Tennessee game, Don Barkley was the guy who stepped in for TJ Lang at right guard. And, for being thrown into a situation like that, I thought Barkley held up pretty well.
Yeah, I thought Barkley played well. And this is something that I've kind of been alluding to. It's interesting, when you go back to 2012, when Barkley first got here, he was a starting left tackle for Geno Smith at West Virginia. But the first position the Packers really moved him to was guard. It was out of necessity that they started using him more at tackle with Brian Bulaga's injury. So that was sort of going to be the home base for him, I think. I think the Packers wanted to give him a look there, but it just seemed out of those last 3 years, he's always had to play tackle. Well, now this year, you draft Jason Springs, you draft Kyle Murphy.
Right.
Well, now they needed an interior lineman, so he did center throughout training camp. And talking with Lane Taylor a little bit, he mentioned that's the thing that impressed him the most about Barkley is that that's not easy to do. It's not easy to even just flip from left side to right side, but to play all five of those positions is really difficult. So I thought Barkley, considering it was really the first extensive action we've seen him in a regular season game at guard, I thought he played well, and I thought, as valuable as TJ Lang is, and as much as I believe that he's starting to play, he has played at a Pro Bowl level.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for Barkley, if Lang can't go, to show that, again, he can really include that versatility inside.
Yeah, I think guard is where the Packers would like to play Barkley. I think it seems to be his more natural spot in the NFL. I mean, it is valuable that he can play all five positions, but last year when he was thrown in at left tackle, things didn't go all that well. I don't think center is a natural position for him necessarily. He certainly spent a lot more time at it this year in training camp when Corey Linsley missed all of camp, But to me, he looks like a guard. He looks like he belongs there, and I think that I think that bodes well for this offensive line if Lang can't come back.
Yeah, and his number one thing, the thing that I've always been impressed with Barkley since he got here is he's a grinder. Always thought he does a really good job in the run game, and just really being able to find a way, even if you know there might be some guys that you know physically might have some more you know could be a tough matchup. He still finds a way, and I think that's why guard really suits him. And being able to kind of battle inside, he mentioned the short area blocking and some of the assignments and how that differs. And also, when you look at the left tackle position, we'll have to see exactly how things go through, Bakhtiari. But Jason Spriggs, that was an opportunity for him to get some extended work.
Yep.
Lane Taylor, before he moved into starting left tackle this year, or left guard, excuse me, that's where he first got his first exposure, was, you know, going in for Josh Sitton and making those little spot appearances. So, for both of those guys, it's valuable time. Barkley, even though he is a veteran, still getting a chance to work a new position. Jason Spriggs, you know, playing that left tackle spot. And we'll have to see how everything goes. But, I mean, the common thread in that offensive line room is that they have confidence that depth goes far beyond those starting five. And Corey Linsley's proven it. They've proven it at center. You've seen Lane Taylor been able to do it. Now it's just about, you know, showing that could extend if Bakhtiari or Lane can't go against Washington.
Yeah, for sure, and we'll see how it sorts out by the end of the week when we get to Sunday Night Football. But for now, Wes, let's take care of some sponsor business. Picture this: you and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we'll close the show today talking about an experience I got to have is going up on our website shortly after we record this on Thursday. Went hunting with Jeff Janis on his off day a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday. It's a normal player's day off. Got to head out into the woods with Jeff, and it was a completely new experience for me. You ever been hunting?
Yeah, I went hunting once, Mike, with my dad back when I was probably about 11, 12 years old. It wasn't an awesome experience. I wasn't an outdoorsman. Okay. But I thought the one thing I really enjoyed about reading your story, which be sure to check it out on Packers.com, it's excellent, was the connection for Janis and his father with hunting. I mean, this is something that was really ingrained in him at an early age, and he's carried that on. And as you found out, he takes it incredibly serious.
Yeah, this isn't just a hobby for Janis. This really is this really is a passion of his. I mean, he's got. I was really impressed, you know, going to his house, and he let me borrow some camo to go out in the woods with him. This is bow hunting for deer, just to clarify for everybody. And you know, he's got the scent crusher wardrobe to get rid of, you know, all the human scent on the clothes. And you know, he does a scent drag with as we head out into the woods with things soaked in doe urine and everything to try to attract the buck over to his blind. He's got the trail cameras in different hunting spots, so he's actually seen pictures of this really good sized buck that has come by one of his cameras, one of his spots, and that's who we were out, you know, hoping that the buck would come by that day. We were just sitting in a ground blind, and unfortunately the buck didn't come by, but I can see why he keeps going out there looking for it, because those pictures are pretty impressive.
Well, and the one thing that I really enjoyed, you know, when I was reading it, is that you only get Tuesday on a normal work week for Packer players.
Yeah, and that's it.
Even when they're home, they still have practice on Saturdays. So this is the one chance to really escape and get away from things. And I thought that was really interesting, getting into Janis's world, seeing what that's like in terms of really, you know, he does his morning workout. Okay, then we're trying to get out. you only have until, what, 4 o'clock right now?
The sun goes down pretty early these days.
Yeah, so he gets out there, and just in how much passion he has for it really is something that I think no matter if you're a hunter or not or whatever, you can relate to.
Yeah.
I was actually most surprised that, you know, Jeff Janis is a tall guy. He's about 6'3". I was actually surprised he had some gear for you to borrow.
Yeah, well, it didn't exactly fit. Maybe I was wearing his wife's gear. Maybe. I'm not sure. but to throw in a thought, earlier this fall, his wife, Alyssa, actually shot a 10-point buck, like, basically right out their back door with her bow. Like, Jeff was telling me that a couple years ago at Christmas, he got Alyssa a bow and helped her practice and everything with targets in the backyard and all this. And now she got a 10-point buck last year in a different part of the state. Jeff got a 9-point buck. And so now his wife is actually, you know, has beaten him this year, and so he's looking for looking to at least even the score there. But something that he has a lot of fun with, and gun season is right around the corner. So he told me he'll probably go out with the gun as well during that time. But then when gun season is over, he'll be right back out with his bow. He really likes the bow hunting aspect of it because the deer come so much closer. You get them within 20 or 30 yards as opposed to trying to, you know, shoot one from 7,500 yards away. So it's a different type of sport.
Yeah, definitely. And the cool thing too, you actually got a chance to sit in his stand with him. I mean, I forget what do they call that?
The blind.
Yeah. You actually, I mean, so you were right there. You got inside his mindset and what that's like to be out there looking for that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a totally new experience for me. My father-in-law hunts. I didn't grow up with it. I never actually got a chance to go out with my father-in-law before he kind of retired from that. But a fun thing. I hope the fans check it out on the website. But we'll wrap on Packers Unscripted for now. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.